Wally Streeter is a financial consultant with Thrivent Financial and has been with them for 35 years. Once he and his wife Martha joined Good Shepherd back in 1976, they became active participants in its growth. Martha, a graduate of Concordia River Forest, helped get the Good Shepherd Preschool up and running, serving as preschool teacher and then as preschool director, retiring from that position just 2 years ago. Their son is active in the congregation, married to a Good Shepherd teacher who took time off to be with their three little ones. Wally's daughter was assistant basketball coach at Concordia, Nebraska, and continues there part-time while raising their daughter. Wally, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Tell us about the warm-up act for you to get to be the president. What other things have you done in the congregation?
Well, I've been an elder over the past. I've worked on the school board. I've been on the church council as stewardship chairman.
Now, you've been the church president on three different occasions, starting in 1988
right.
to 91, then 95 and 96, and then again from 2012 to the present.
Yep.
That's 10 years in counting. So you're tied with Ralph at this point. Ralph Schneider, I think, put in 10 as well. It's interesting that people keep repeating, a number of people kept repeating. Is that because people wouldn't step up and say, we'll do it because it's a daunting task?
I think some of it is back to, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you are brought forward for a time as this. And I think the good Lord looks at different situations that would match the talents that we all have. And I didn't really realize that so much in my early two terms, but I really felt that in 2012. I felt like we couldn't find anybody at that point, but I also knew, and I told Martha, that this was going to be a different presidency, very, very different from what I experienced in the past.
And it's played out to be that, and we're very grateful that you're there. Let's start with your first term, going back to 1988. What was the situation at Good Shepherd at that time?
Well, Phyllis, it's really hard to think back that far as to exact happenings, but I can tell you our feelings back then. It was one or two words. In one or two words, I'd say alive and exciting. Anytime you are growing, it's exciting. And we were growing cautiously and not recklessly, if that makes sense. I really feel we were following the Lord's guidance and making sure we were following a plan. And our church understood that if we were to grow and bring new members in, the school was our best vehicle to do that.
So that was the biggest challenge at the time, was the school?
Yep. We had the school going, but one of our concerns at that time was our continuing to provide a Christian education while also meeting our members' needs of wanting a new church. We were relying on the good faith of our parents to pay the cost of educating our children without using the word tuition. That was not a word that we really liked to use. We knew that if the school didn't pay its way, it would be a drag on allowing our church to grow. And as you may recall, remember, we were already at three services on a Sunday morning. So tuition, I think, was the biggest thing that we were facing at that point.
And why was tuition such an unwanted term at that time?
Well, it really wasn't popular at all within our congregations. It isn't today. There are many congregations that are small, but that are funding the full tuition cost.
In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and specifically in our district today. Hoyleton still does not charge tuition. I don't even think Redbud, who is in a growing situation right now with their school, is in tuition. But we knew that if we were going to grow at Good Shepherd, we had a form of, if you remember back in Pastor Caston's day, we would write a letter to the parent and say, you know, it costs $2,000 to educate your child. We would hope that at some point you would be able to at least pay that much to the church. Well, that works, but that's also a concern with the IRS. And so we really needed to be clear, really be clear of what we expected from our school parents. And so that was a big concern that we had at that point. At the end of one of my presidencies, before Steve Harris took place into that job, I was asked to step forward and head up the tuition study board. And as you recall, that was kind of a difficult time. We had listening events that were held. We had PowerPoint presentations. We did a complete study on tuition. And we at Good Shepherd didn't feel the right thing was to do partial tuition like some schools have done more recently. Oh, we'll fund half of it, and then the parent will pay for half. We decided if we're going to go to tuition, we'll go to tuition, and it'll be 100%. And that was not a very popular thing originally, but it passed by the congregation. And that allowed us, actually, then to begin looking at our church and being able to go into church growth mode.
It's interesting because the people leading up to that time in the congregation, many of them died in the faith, having given to the church, hoping for a church building, a new narthex, never seeing it, but knowing it would happen, and they sacrificed for the children to be educated. And now the parents paying for the tuition will be sacrificing something to get great education and then also contribute to a church being built.
Yes. And I think that was one of the strengths that our congregation had back what I said earlier. They knew that the growth of the church was built around the school. And if the school is successful, the church will be successful. And we find, I think, in our district today, we find that a lot of churches have backed out of the school system totally, and that has not been gone well for them.
That's an interesting observation. Okay, so that was your second term in the 90s, mm-hmm. when that happened, about reviewing the tuition. Reflect on how the Lord moved in all of this business about tuition and all the other issues that you were facing at that time.
Well, I really think back to even earlier than that, Pastor Coleman. I really feel the Lord has been guiding Good Shepherd since its inception. From having a strong pastor like Pastor Coleman to having a strong and even much stronger person like a Pastor Kasten's following his steps as well. As you may recall, Pastor Kasten's was known as one of the hardest working pastors in the Synod. And we needed that energy to provide the outreach necessary to grow our school and support our church through three services. Our associate pastor at that one time was Pastor Walther. And he was allowed to groom underneath Pastor Kasten's and do many things that he did so well, like personal visitations. And that momentum allowed us to grow in the school and the church. And I really think we are still riding on some of that momentum today, which is a little scary. How long can we ride that wave?
So. And I know you're doing something to get ahead of the curve or ahead of the wave a little bit. You are riding it with surfboards in place, and maybe you'll get to talk about that a little bit later, the listening groups that you're holding and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, when I was asked to be the president back in 2012, I really felt like that was a calling for me, as I said earlier, and to take that position. But again, I knew that it was that I was there for a different sort of calling this time. Remember the words I used earlier on how I saw Good Shepherd back in 1988, alive and exciting? Well, if I had to give you a couple of words today, it would be change and unrest. But I think that's due to the many changes that are hitting us from the outside world. It's not just what's happening within our church, but what's happening on the outside. I think we're facing changes within our youth program leadership. We had Pastor Hemingway took a call. The wave we were riding for so long has now gone to a little bit of a ripple. And there seems to be more of an expectation that if it doesn't fit me, I want to go elsewhere. And we never had that back in the 80s when I first started. I think it's more of an individualistic thinking today. Our numbers in our school are down. And I don't think it's primarily cost, but parents struggling to make tough choices in the economy today. I don't really think what we're going through today is any different than any church or organization. I tried to prepare our church council and even met with the past presidents to go over a book titled How the Mighty Fall by Jim Collins. Sounds rather negative, doesn't it? But really, it prepares you for the stages of rise, decline, and how to recover again. And I think that's really where Good Shepherd is today. I have no doubt that it's going to recover. That's not it. But it's a little scary. It's like the stock market. There are times when you can make money no matter what you invest in, and you get to thinking you can't lose. And that kind of thinking really can get you in trouble. And we at Good Shepherd need to make sure we aren't in denial and make sure we continue to make good decisions and allow God to lead us. You know, I took a phrase from a book called Fierce Conversations. It says, "What are you pretending not to know?" I think that is a good question to continually ask when we're facing decisions, because I think the good Lord blesses us all the time with knowledge. We sometimes want to be in denial and not accept those things. So I think, what does the future hold for Good Shepherd? As they say, only God knows, but I am certain that He will continue to guide us as He has in the past. And He has given us a wonderful, talented staff and a gifted membership that can be His arms and legs in continuing the wonderful history that we've had here at Good Shepherd.
So. You're kind of the reality president. You're like, this is it, you guys, and let's look at it for what it is. And one of the things that I've been interested in that you've done is you've been wanting to hear from, like you said, maybe the individualists, or maybe just people who came on board and loved it and haven't been able to see, wait, what about this and what about that? They want to be heard. And maybe it's some of the, if it doesn't fit, you know, we can find another church, but they're still loving something and they want to stay. So you're getting in conversation with them. Tell us about that project.
Yeah. That it occurred to me, and actually, Pastor Walter would be first to admit, too, listening events at Good Shepherd aren't new. We've had those over the years. The biggest listening event, I said earlier, was when we had to go to full tuition. We wanted to make sure before we voted that was really covered in detail. But today we have a different thing going on. It's the unrest. It's the outside world. And I want to make sure that we're hearing what's going on. I'd rather that be done in a meeting setting than in the parking lot. And so one of the things that that I was preparing the council for is these listening events. You know, it's interesting what you said earlier. I think you called it the
reality president.
Reality president.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but that also can be a negative to some people, because I feel like when I brought up the book, How the Mighty Fall, the first thing I think of is we don't want to be negative. So let's not go there. No, I don't believe that's negative. I think that's being a realist. And I really think that the listening events that we've just initiated, and I really only had one meeting so far, but I think it was a good meeting. It allowed those of us to share if we had some concerns. And I think when people are allowed to share and vent maybe just a little bit, they're going to be the ones that will stay and try to make Good Shepherd a better place. And if you don't allow them to vent, they will leave. And so if we know what's happening within Good Shepherd and we hear from our members and what they're looking for, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be able to do everything everybody wants, because that's the outside world. We still have to stay true to the word. And so it's good, though, to let them come to a meeting and share and to be able to offer some interesting ideas that maybe we should work on. And so that's kind of the direction we're trying to take with this meeting.
And that will take energy to follow through on,
mm-hmm.
and make people feel affirmed, even when they have negative feelings.
Yeah.
How did you set that up, just for people who are listening?
Okay. Basically, the first meeting was held not too long ago, and we had to really spend about 30 minutes of telling them what the foundation of this group is going to be. We didn't want them to think that they could bring an idea to the forefront, and then we're just going to do it. They're not a decision body. All they are is advisory to the church council. And that was something the church council felt very strongly about, is to make sure that they know it's advisory. And so that's going to help us make good decisions in the future. So we spent half of the meeting really just laying the groundwork for some of that. We also included three reports from the floor so that they can get an idea of what is Good Shepherd doing? A lot of people don't realize what we're working on and that we are working.
Yeah.
So they have to understand that. And we gave reports on the Early Childhood Center. We gave reports on the budget. We gave reports on the acoustical study that we're going through. Most of our members don't even know we're in an acoustical study. So that was brought forward. But then we went into a SWOT exercise. And the reason we went into that kind of exercise is we really needed to make sure that we heard from those at the meeting. And there was about 40 people in present. Strengths and weaknesses, and nobody wants to talk about weaknesses. But I was very, very surprised and encouraged that there was a lot of strengths brought out. And there were some weaknesses brought out. And opportunities is the other part of the SWOT. We wanted to make sure that we brought in what kind of opportunities does Good Shepherd have. And then also T for threats. And that's kind of a negative term too. But there are threats, threats from the outside. We have a Christian school starting up in Caseyville. We have a very large school now in Maryville-Troy area. That's a very competitive school to ours. So it's better to lay those things out and to take a look at them and say, how do we react? And I still think we're going to do very, very well.
So. I agree. What does SWOT stand for again?
Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And frankly, that was really where we wanted the listening event to go to anyway. But we needed to lay the groundwork. We needed to talk about some things that we were working on, but in order to get them talking. And that really worked. It got people to speak up. And sometimes it sounds negative, but if it's in their heart and they want to speak it, they need to do that.
And sometimes when it's on your mind and you say it out loud and hear yourself say it, it almost gives you a perspective without anybody commenting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that can be very healthy.
Yeah.
And it was handled very well. What kind of feedback did you get after that meeting of about 40?
Well, some of the feedback actually is push. In other words, what are we doing next? What are we doing now?
Yeah.
And it wasn't really meant to be an ongoing, it was meant to be ongoing 4 times a year, but not an actively committee.
Not every other week
or
something. Yeah.
And so it's causing me now to say, okay, I have to make a report to the church council in our June meeting. And from that point, we're going to go ahead and set up the next meeting because I can see the people are wanting it.
Yeah, good.
And so that's good.
You're that flexible.
Yep.
I've always known you to be, since I first met you when your kids were real little, and I was so impressed with your sense of family and the way that you wanted the families to be educated in things of God and at the Christian school and so forth. And you always struck me, and Martha as well, as being leadable and teachable. Mm-hmm. It's a great quality for somebody in leadership.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Sometimes in leaders, we don't want to listen. We'd rather say and do. But on the other hand, really, some of the things that were brought up in the listing event were terrific. And I think those kinds of comments will go back to the individual boards, and they have something to work on as well.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yep.
When you look at your 3 terms as president of this congregation, they now equal 10 years, but not successively. Successfully, but not successfully. Is that the right word? Is there anything that stands out as the wow factor for you?
I guess the thing that stands out most is that Good Shepherd has always been a supporting congregation. If you show that you're trying and that we're trying to make and do the best thing for Good Shepherd, they tend to follow you. I think what's disappointing to them is if they don't feel like leadership has done their homework, and that sometimes is something that's difficult for people to understand. We all have jobs, we all work, and so there are other things in our lives too that are important. I think my next step will be, I really hope that we can bring in a new president at the end of this term, which will be starting in 2016. So I'm ending this now two-term area. In fact, I really would love to go to term limits in our congregation. I really think that to keep people fresh and keep activity moving forward, you need to have fresh leadership. My goal, I guess, is to say that I want to bring a new leader in now for the next term. But I would like to chair the listening event going forward. And that might be something that we can set up as maybe a president has a term, and then they follow up by serving a two-year term in the listening event area. Because one thing is, they've dealt with a couple years. They know what's happening within the congregation, and so it would be a good leadership position for them to go into.
And the congregation knows them and trusts their trusts their insights and leadership. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
You're thinking ahead. You began this visit by talking about the momentum that you felt that was happening with the excitement and the liveliness of the congregation when you started as president in 88. And I can tell that with your attitude and the way you want to move forward, that momentum is going to continue. And we thank you very much for that leadership and pray for your role as president at this time.
Yeah.
Keep it up, Wally. Thanks so much.
Thanks.